Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 202. It's the week of October 13th, 2014, and I'm coming at you from the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, Central Virginia. I'd like to thank you for coming along. If you're a new listener, thanks for taking a chance on the podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Be sure to go back and listen to other episodes. If you don't like this one, maybe you can get used to it. If you're a returning listener, I really do appreciate you coming back. I'm a middle-of-the-pack, ordinary nobody who likes to do distance running. I don't take myself too seriously. I like to have fun with it, but at the same time, I like to do some challenging things that are hard, but kind of that hard fun, if you know what I mean. If you're a new listener, I'll just give you a little description of my running history. I've run 25 or 26 marathons, a handful of ultras in there, 100K, 250 milers, and I am currently training for my third 50 miler, which I plan to do on November 8th. So that's coming up quick, and I'll have a full description of what's been going on here over the last few weeks here in this week's show. I'm doing my very best on getting out two episodes a month. It's very hard to do that. Life is very busy, and there's just so much information that gets bombarded. I get bombarded with information, and a lot of times it's hard to sit down with a quiet house to produce the show. But here I am. I have about an hour this afternoon. My daughter's out volunteering at an event. My wife is working later, and so I've walked the dog, and the house is quiet, and here I am getting this episode out. So thanks for coming along. The biggest news, really, is the 24-hour race that I'm planning on running the weekend of November 8th and 9th. But I'm planning on just doing 50 miles, hopefully in the first 12 hours of that. It's called the Croatan 24. The biggest news is the venue has changed. And this is a right big deal, because Brandon Wilson, the race director, had to scramble to find a replacement venue. It's still in the Croatan National Forest. What has happened, apparently, and that's down eastern North Carolina, almost on the coast of North Carolina. The officials at the National Forest closed the Cedar Point National Recreation Area for improvements without telling him. And this is the funny thing, he'd already met with them, and there was no mention of this, so he's asked for people not to be critical. So I don't know anything about it other than I've been pretty impressed with him being able to change the venue. So now it's going to be in an area called the Patsy Pond Trail, which is about 6 miles away, still in the National Forest. So I think it's still going to be called the Croatan 24. I'm not sure if he's going to change the name, but apparently this trail is a little bit different. It's going to be longer. Instead of a 1.3678, 4321, whatever, pi loop, it's going to be 2.23 miles per loop. And not that really changes things for me much, because it's just going to be, going around and around and around. But it looks like the surface is going to be a little bit different. It's the trail is wide enough for four or more people to run by side by side. Very compact sand. Brandon says on the website, very suitable for running. No rocks, very few roots, no trail debris, and occasionally a soft or a wet spot in the sand trail where it gives underfoot, but you wouldn't sink in like you would at the beach. So he's obviously been out there. It still goes by the aid station area, and he's put a video on the website. If you go to croatan24.com, that's croatan24.com. So I'm not really sure what to make of the whole thing. I'm pretty impressed that he's been able to come up with something so quickly. And there's a video and there's some pictures. I'm looking on the website now. There is a photo. There's just some pictures of it. He made a video of it, so you can kind of get an idea of what the course is like. And I'm Watching the video now. Let's see if I can turn the volume is up. Kind of hear him. Let's see. I'll turn it up.
Croatan National Forest. Wide.
This is Brandon talking.
And all sand and pines draw.
So it's a real short video clip of the course. And I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it, but that's a real big deal. So my goal is to do 50 miles in the first 12 hours. So that starts at Saturday the 8th of November at 8 a.m. And I'm hoping to do 50 miles by 8 o'clock that night. Now, I did, a couple years ago, I ran from Marathon Key to Key West in the Keys 100 Ultra. I did the 50-mile version of that option. And I came in at 11 hours and 52 minutes. And I pretty much did the same training that I'm doing now. That was a race that was in May of that year. I want to say 2011 is when I did that. And I got to say, I was pretty excited that I came inside 12 hours, because the previous 50-miler I had done, I'd ran in almost 13 hours. And that was actually with some really injured feet. And I'll again throw that out there. If you want to see what my feet looked like after that race, this was basically when I went to the medical tent, and the guy, one of the guys in there who was a medical person, went, "Holy shit, I've never seen anything like that before." That's when I kind of got worried that I was going to have to get some kind of skin grafts from my butt cheeks or something. I mean, the bottoms of my feet macerated, and the skin kind of sloughed off, and was like it was a burn. And, you know, when I took my shoes and socks off, it's like, oh, yeah, that's why they hurt so bad, because they're really injured. Anyway, I was, but I ran that in 12 hours and 48 minutes. Recovered, ran in a different venue. You can't really compare 50-mile races, you know, side by side. However, if it's flat like it was in the Keys, and then the course I'm going to be running down in North Carolina is flat for the most part, with the exception of the scenery being different, you're still in that same battle in your head. You know, that's the same, that the inner battle of your brain, that's the same regardless of what the venue is. So that's my goal. My goal is to do 50 miles in 12 hours, and if I do it in 13 hours, I'm okay with that. It's my next ultra, and the reason I picked this race is because Brandon gave me a complimentary entry for working the finish line at his Graveyard 100 for the last couple years, and I'll be down there again in March. This is the Graveyard 100 is the ultra marathon on the Outer Banks of North Carolina that starts in Corolla and finishes in Hatteras, and it's a hell of an event. So the venue change is kind of a big thing. We don't have to change our hotels or anything like that. I guess it's a bigger thing for Brandon than it is for the runners, with the exception of those who've done it before, because they knew what to expect. So it's kind of neat that I'm coming in first time. I'll be experiencing this with others. And in some ways, I feel bad for Brandon, because it seems like every ultra, somebody throws a snag in there. There was a issue with the graveyard a couple of years ago where there was a hurricane that came in and closed, and so the race had to be a 50 mile out and back. I don't know. There's always seems to be something. But anyway, hats off to him for go ahead and getting the other venue arranged, and I will be down there come hell or high water, I guess. And Snuggy Bear is going to be my crew, my one-man crew. Maybe he'll even run with me some. And John, I know you listen to the podcast. This is John Snug. We call him Snuggy Bear. I'm not really sure what we're going to do that Saturday night when I finish, whether it's at 8 o'clock. It won't be at 7 o'clock. I got to know that. Whether it's at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, you know, I guess we can camp out overnight right there. But the thought of waking up the next day without a shower, I guess, after running 50 miles in a tent just does not appeal to me at all. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. Maybe we'll go find a cheap motel room somewhere just so I can get a shower and we've got a bed to sleep in before we head back. We're getting staying in the Hampton Inn the Friday before, so that'd be luxury. But the way back, we'll have to see. And if I'm lucky, I'll get my mother-in-law Saturn four-door so we can get some better gas mileage. And that's definitely not the kind of car you want to sleep in. I tried sleeping in that last year at the finish line when I worked the graveyard for about 2 hours. And, you kind of close your eyes, but you don't really fall asleep. So let me just talk a little bit about some of these 40-mile weeks I've done. I've actually been just killing it with the training. I just finished a 50-mile week, actually 50.1 miles is what I did. Late September, I did a 40-miler week. Did two 40-mile weeks in September. I almost took a whole week off because I went camping for a few days, and I think my body just needed to take a break. So I just did a five miler and took the weekend off, and then I came back with a vengeance this past week and did 50 miles for the 50.1 technically is what it was, and I did it by running 4 or 5 milers during the week. I did a 20.1 miler Saturday, and then I followed up with 10 miler on Sunday. And here it is Monday, the 13th of October, as I'm doing the podcast, and I kind of feel, I don't feel sore all over, but I'm at that verge. It's kind of like that last drop that you drop in a glass where it then spilleth over. That's where I am when it comes to 50 miles, and I have to be really careful because I kind of start breaking around this point. But there's just no way that I would be able to line up for this 50 miler down in North Carolina if I didn't at least have the confidence of doing, some 50 mile weeks. So I'm going to try to get in one more 50 mile week. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it this week because, obviously I got to take Monday off because I did the double long run sandwich over the weekend. Actually, I did 20.1 miles on Saturday. I'll talk about that in a minute. Then I did 10 on Sunday, so it was actually 50.1. And you might be saying, well, what's the big deal about the 0.1? Well, 0.1 miles is a big deal when you're 0.1 from the finish line and you're not going to make a time that you want. 0.1 is a big deal when you run out of water and you're still not at the aid station. And so 0.1 is a distance just like any other. I'm not really sure where I'm going with that. But I had a real monster week. I had some, these 40-mile weeks. I've already done 2 20-milers. So this past Saturday, my hope was to have done a 25-miler, and the way I had it set up was that I was going to run out, do a five-miler loop in town, then I was going to go out, so I had to get 20, so I was going to go out 10 and come back 10, meaning out and back. Well, unfortunately, it rained on Saturday, and I gave up is what happened. I went out 7. Came back 7, and because my feet had gotten really wet, and I said, okay, I'll get back to the house, I'll change shoes and socks, and at this point, I was at 20.1. I said, then I'll go out and get that last 5 with some dry shoes and socks. Well, when I got back in the house, I took off my shoes and socks, and I just never put anything back on. I just said, nah, that's it. I'm done. I'll just have to do 10 tomorrow, and to get 50 for the week, because getting 50 for the week was a have to. I had to do 50 miles this week. I've got an on-call week coming up for work. I'm open to do another 50 that week. Keep my fingers crossed that I'm not out working all night and I'll be able to get it done. This was just one of those have to. So we got up for Sunday, and what I did Saturday is I just took my debit card. I did the old Dean Karnazes thing where I just run with my debit card. I didn't order a pizza like that guy did, but I set up my route, so I ran past 2 convenience stores, and one of some of my refreshment was a honey bun and a Gatorade. And Dr. Smitty, you'd be proud of me, but I just substituted the Gatorade instead of Mountain Dew. And then on my way back up, I had a Snickers and another Gatorade, lots of sugar. But I never wanted to give up. What I did the whole time, when I did that 20.1, I didn't want to give up. I gave up when I got home, and what I should have done was just kept going out another 2.5 miles from where I turned around, which was my original plan, but it was raining and I was wet, and that way I wouldn't have had any excuses. So I was a little disappointed, but what I did is I punished myself Sunday by doing 10 miles, and so I got the 50 for the week and a huge confidence builder. I can't remember the last time I ran 50 miles in the course of a week. I think it was when I was training for the 100K, which was 2012, I think. So, yeah, I think that's the last time I did 50 miles, and I remember that was my breaking point. 50 miles is where I start breaking. Things start hurting, and I need another day off. So if the things go along as planned, I'll get back out there tomorrow and do another 20 this week before the weekend and try to get the 40 to 45 if I can. And then next week, do that last 50 mile, and then that's, I think that's 2 weeks out from the race, three weeks. Yeah, that'll be the on-call week will be the week out, so I'll have that week of tapering, which is what I'm going to do. I don't believe in this two-week taper thing. So to me, it's for these ultras, it's all about getting to that mental point where you feel like you can handle the distance on race day because you've been there before, and I'm not talented enough where tapering is going to do anything for my body, where I'm going to save energy and have this great performance on race day. Race day performance is really just about holding on for dear life and hoping I can finish. And to me, that therein lies the challenge and the fun, really, is to know it's hard, see how hard it is, and just hope that I can make it. So yeah, I had some big training weeks, and with that came the time to have to replace my shoes. As most of the people know in the show that have listened, I kind of made the plunge to the real large cushioning shoe. I started with the Hokas. They tended to wear out a lot quicker than I thought they would on the outside of the sole, although I do over pronate, I think is what it's called. I run, tend to put that force on the outside of the back of the shoe. But for shoes that were $130, I thought they wore out way too fast. And so I'm not going to buy those anymore. So I went to a shoe called Olympus, or Ultra, A-L-T-R-A, and got the Olympus model. This shoe has a wider toe box where your toes are able to spread out a little bit more. I immediately liked the shoe. It's also a zero-drop shoe. And immediately liked it. It just looks strange because it looks strange to when you look down at your feet. It doesn't look weird. Other people don't notice that. Because usually your shoe doesn't, come together, doesn't spread out so much. And, contrast that with a pair of boots that you have, that have the pointed toe where everything gets crammed up at the top. And anyway, so these Ultras are good shoes. And I went through the one pair, I think it was 460 miles or so. Matter of fact, I'm kind of curious to know what I had on those because I'm going to look that up while I'm podcasting here. I really did like the shoe. It was, matter of fact, I put... let's see here. 464.3 miles on those shoes. They were $130. The Hokas were $150, and they were the Hokas 1-1. I put 361 miles on those before I had to put them in the garage for. I'm not even gonna wear them to cut grass because they're kind of like high heel running shoes. I liked how cushioning they were, but they just wore out too fast for that kind of money. So I went to the Ultra Olympus, which I literally just saw from a magazine article or magazine advertisement, and bought them that way. Immediately liked them. I liked the fact that the toe box was bigger, and immediately liked those. Put 464 miles on those. They did wear out some in the heel, not as fast as the Hokas, though. Not nearly as fast. But as I've said before, I had to replace them because it got to a point where they were stinking so bad. That's really what I had to do to replace them. So I can still use those for cutting grass or working around the yard where I need some comfortable shoes to wear. So I got some new ones. I already got close to 50 miles on those. I just got a different color, the exact same model, just a different color. There is one thing I don't like about these shoes. Now, I like the way they feel. I like everything about them except for the shoelaces. They get tangled up really easily. They're really long shoelaces, so you have to double knot them, maybe even triple knot them. But what tends to happen is if you need to take them off real fast and you need to undo your loops, they tend to get kind of tangled up. And it's just kind of weird that they get so tangled up. I don't quite understand how that happens. Got an idea. What I might do is pull some laces out of another shoe and put them in there and see if that helps. But anyway, they're good shoes. They're called Ultra. The model's Olympus. The brand is ALTRA. I like them a lot, and I would recommend those to anybody who's looking for a different shoe, something new to try, which is what I needed to do. And I'm happy to recommend those. All right, let's get to the theme a little bit of the title of the show called Power Within You. I heard an interesting quote on TV the other day, and it's actually the person who said it. His name is Joel Osteen. He's a Christian minister that apparently now has a show on Sirius Radio, satellite radio, something like that, and that's why he's doing these advertising. I know who this guy is. I've seen him on TV before. Sometimes he gets interviewed. He's one of these evangelists that is Christian based, probably Baptist. And I usually don't pay much attention to preachers or pastors that use the TV as their medium. And the reason is because the name Benny Hinn comes to mind. I've always thought some of these guys are kind of a fraud. You know, they want you to send their money in and stuff. Well, what got my attention? Well, I've heard this guy interviewed before, and he seems to be pretty genuine, and he comes across as very non-arrogant. And I don't really know much about him other than I know he's married and his wife works with him. But he said something during his commercial that just kind of resonated within me. And this is the quote. It's, quote, "There is a power within you that can fight any powers against you," unquote. And that kind of resonated within me with some of the motivational issues I've had with getting these long weeks in, where you gotta have the quantity of miles to do an ultra marathon. You can't do it on, you know, multiple days of 10 miles, you know, or you gotta have that long run in there where you get that mental discipline of being out there for several hours, being with yourself for several hours, not getting bored, and keeping the focus of your objective in front of you, and getting to it. And, you know, just that thought, there's a power within you that can fight any powers against you. And that's kind of a symbolic thing. I'm not saying if you got, you know, if you're the one guy running with the football and there's six big linemen trying to block you, you're probably not going to get through them. I don't think this is a physical thing. It's kind of a spiritual and a mental strength. And I think we all have some of that in us. I know that I have time and again, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant myself here, because if you've listened to the show over the years, you know I'm anything but arrogant. I like to make jokes about arrogance. But, you know, obviously the show is about me and my experiences for the most part, so I do share some of those. And I have actually proven to myself time and time again that I am a much stronger person than I think. You know, I've covered 100 kilometers on foot. That was something I never thought I'd be able to do. Hell, when I ran my first marathon, I never thought that was something I would be able to do. I thought that was for, you know, other people, elite people. Of course, the elite people run the Boston Marathon, but us regular middle-of-the-pack nobodies, you know, these other races are for us. You know, we're the ones that bring the money to these races. I've done shows on the whole idea of who should be running marathons. Is it just to finish, or is it to, you know, should be elite people? I'm not going to get into that now, but this whole idea of having a power within you that can fight any powers against you, the powers against you are those voices telling you to stop, the voices that of self-preservation. I mean, because it is hard as all get out to run a marathon or do an ultra marathon. Regardless of your ability level, even these elite runners out there, the reason they run far, 50, 100 miles, is because they want something that's hard, that challenges them. They want to have these forces against them to fight through and overcome. And I think that's what I want. I think that's one of the main things that I'm attracted to in these ultra marathons, whether it's 50K or 50 miles. I haven't really considered, except for one time, anything higher than that. Because they're hard as shit, and I like to be able to try to fight against the powers that are fighting against me, but they're all in my own head, and that's my point, is that there's the part of your brain can fight through the other parts of your brain, the self-preservation, the wanting to stop and quit and go be comfortable, the voices that say, let's just walk for a little while, you'll feel better, when you know you actually, sometimes it hurts more to walk than it does to run. But your mind, your brain needs your muscles just need a little bit of that break. I don't know, that quote, there's just so much that, that came to mind when I heard that man say that on the TV commercial that I went and jotted it down. And I've seen the commercial a few times since then, and it just, it gets my my brain thinking when I think, you know, there's a power within you that can fight any powers against you. And I think what I'm probably going to do is have that quote handy when I'm running my ultra, because It's easy to say it now, that, you know, when the going gets tough, you know, I'll just keep going. Man, when you're 40 miles into a race and you're hurting really bad, it's hard to get motivation. It's hard to keep going sometimes, especially somebody like me who's 206 pounds. I mean, I'm down to 206. I'm working on getting down to 200. I had to have lost some weight this week, man, running 50 miles, and I don't even think I had any pizza. I did have some beer, but I hardly had any pizza. Anyway, so that's a quote. There's a power within you that can fight any powers against you. It's just something to think about. It's something that got me really thinking, and especially when I'm kind of in this spirit, this time of thinking of my running in a spiritual manner, in a mental way. I'm looking beyond the physical part. I'm kind of looking for this higher meaning, and because that's what kind of inspires me. And so. And it's not really anything that you can really grasp or write down or put into a sentence. It's kind of a feeling that's in your brain. It's a feeling within your body as you're doing it. And I wanted to share that with all of y'all that are listening, because it's something that kind of inspired me. It just kind of got my brain working a little bit, and that's what I needed. And in the email bag, I'll talk a little bit about the book I've been reading. I've taken a little bit of a break from it because I went up to Maryland for a training class for 3 days a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to bring the book. And ever since I got home, I quit. I haven't picked it back up. That's the book called To the Edge. I got an email from, I can't remember. I've got it in my email bag here. I'll get to that here in a little bit. So that's the that's why the show's called The Power Within You. And I'd be interested to hear from any listeners at ashlanddave@gmail.com. that have a similar experience. And I'm not talking about a religious experience with your running. I don't need to hear about all that. This isn't a show about religion or politics. But when I say spiritual, I mean, I feel like there's more power, there's more forces at work within your brain, within your body, within your whole being when you're out there on the running course and you have this objective. There's so many forces at work. And sometimes I think it's neat to kind of analyze those a little bit, or maybe hear from other people the kind of things that they think about. You know, of course, I pray. I hope that there's world peace and that my daughter grows up to be a happy person and gives me and my wife grandkids. I pray about all kinds of stuff. But I guess I don't really pray that I'll make it or I'll make it to the finish, because that's my free will, whether I get there or not. But I kind of like to think about these forces that are inside me, and which ones went out. And I think that hopefully come November 8th, the ones that went out are the ones that want to finish. Okay, well, I did mention the trip to Maryland. That was a 3-day training class in front of a computer. Yeah, that was really fun. But the good thing about that class is that I learned a new skill and got a license to operate some software where I can, I think, do some good in my community. I'm pretty excited about that. So it was in an office park. My hotel was in an office park. And so I went running. One of the days, I think it was the second day I was there, gorgeous afternoon, just really pretty. And the leaves had already, all of a sudden the leaves are turning. It just kind of surprised me. I didn't really notice it until then. And I kind of kicked myself for saying, you know, why have you not noticed the leaves turn? And it's a beautiful part of the year. But running in an office park is just really not, I mean, it was pretty, but that's boring, man. I mean, you get to the point where you're running the perimeter of a cul-de-sac just to get the distance. I didn't want to go out on the main road. The good thing was is that I was within walking distance up to, I think it was Ruby Tuesday or something, where the people in the class, we had a little happy hour. That's why I didn't run the first day, but I ran the second day. Or was it the first day I ran? No, I ran the second day. I only ran one day while I was up there because I didn't want to have to run in wet stuff a second time. I don't know why I had that on my list of stuff here. I'm not really sure why I put that in the show. Sorry about that. That was kind of a loose thought. All right, got Let's see, two more things, and then we'll get into the email bag section of the show. I know that's very exciting for people that emailed me, and they get to hear their email on the podcast, and the email address is ashlanddave@gmail.com. I like to hear from listeners. I really do. Sometimes it takes me a couple days to respond, and it's only because I don't want to just, you know, email you back and say thanks. I want to email you back a little something. So I usually take a few days to respond. And I have my apologies to David Williams from Down Under Dave, because I have not responded to his, but I'm going to during the show. But I have to mention something, because I actually kind of impressed myself a little bit. I arranged a, this has nothing to do with running, although this was the weekend I went camping, and I didn't run, but my daughter and I went hiking. I am part of a group of between 9 and 14 dads who get together and go camping with their daughters. We are formerly an Indian princess tribe through the YMCA. Several years ago, we branched off and formed a Confederate group called the Dads and Daughters of Ashland, DADA, you know, DADA. That was better than Fathers and Girls, which the acronym of that would be FAG. So we went with Dads and Daughters of Ashland. The reason we splintered off was because some of the guys in the group wanted to kind of have a little bit more freedom on the campouts, and I was right on the bubble when this happened. My daughter was young, and I was, I guess, a little impressionable with some of these guys that had, you know, knew what they were doing, and I kind of wanted to keep going and camping with them, because it was the dads in the Ashland area. Not Ashland is not a subdivision. I'm not knocking subdivisions, but Ashland is a community formed within a town, and so there's subdivision. I guess there's a couple technical subdivisions in the town, but not like a subdivision that would have 1,000 homes. So we were given the option. I could join the other Indian princess group that was kind of this group of guys in a subdivision. And that just wasn't really my thing. And so I went with the Confederate group. Some ways I regret it, because we could have kind of kept going with the structure where you have the monthly activity, but the campouts have been great. And so that, you know, we still have a chief, and now I'm the chief. It's been my turn. And so I organized the campout for 24 dads and girls on the James River in Buckingham County. It was gorgeous. It's a gorgeous area, and it's at James River State Park. Although we got up there Friday. It rained Friday night. Everybody does their own meal Friday night, but Saturday morning, it's the chief's responsibility to cook breakfast for everybody, get their lunches together. Actually, it was four meals. I've written my notes here. 23 people. I think it was 20. Yeah, because one girl couldn't come. 23 people times four meals is what I was responsible for, and I did it. I did it all. Was, you know, obviously with the help of some other guys, but I'm the one that brought everything and planned it. And that's almost 100 meals. Just dawned on me how much that was. So this is the reason I'm talking about this is if you have a similar situation and you need to, if you have any interested in knowing how I pulled that off, just email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll tell you how much stuff we had to buy for that. And we did barbecue Saturday night, if you can believe it. I brought it, though. We cooked it. We heated it up there with the stove, camp stove. Anyway, okay, that was the camping trip. That's why I didn't go running last weekend. It was far better doing the camping trip with my kid than getting out there and being selfish with my own long run. And one of the benefits of the venue of where we camped was that we were close to Appomattox Courthouse, which 30 minutes away from Appomattox Courthouse. If you're any kind of American patriot, American citizen, do you know what happened at Appomattox Courthouse on April 9th, 1865? Did you answer? Well, that's where Lee surrendered to Grant, and the nation was reunited. Of course, a few days later, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, But anyway, Appomattox Courthouse is close to where we camped, and so we I led a group over there, and we took the tour, because my daughter is really into, she really likes Abraham Lincoln. I mean, I might have said this before, but that's what she named our cat. His name is Abraham Lincoln. So she's interested in that kind of, that era of the country, that history, and she thought it was really cool. Anyway, that was pretty neat to just kind of see that area, very historical. It's Appomattox Courthouse, or Appomattox National Park, or National Historic Site. All right, that was the camping trip. Next thing, before the email bag section of the show, is, yes, I'm going to do the marathon bus tour again this year. The Richmond Marathon is November 15th, I think, Saturday. So the day before, I got to take that day off. I'm off that week because that's the week after the Ultra. So I'm off that week from work. I took that week off already. And I offered to, or was asked, to do the be one of the marathon tour guides in the charter bus that they set up. There's several tours. I did it last year. I talked about it on the podcast last year. What I think I might do this year is actually I'll produce part of the show from the marathon tour. It's about a two-hour event, and we get a script to kind of read from, but you don't have to read from it, but I learned a lot about the Richmond area myself just by reading the stuff along the course and some stuff that I knew, some stuff I didn't know. So what I'll do is what I plan to do is maybe I'll record some of the stuff and edit it out and just put some of the highlights in the podcast. The cool thing about doing the marathon bus tour is that you get to meet some first-time marathoners, and a lot of first-time Richmond marathoners, and you get to be an ambassador of the city. And it's just a neat feeling. And, of course, you have all this positive attention on you, which, you know, feeds your ego and all that stuff. Because I don't get that too often. But another cool thing is you get a cool dinner by the Richmond Roadrunners. And I think they bought pitchers of beer, too. They do a dinner a couple of nights before, and... where they have pitchers and pizza and some other pasta. And I got John Snuggs is going to do it with me this year. Last year was Tom Grant, Ashland Tom. Now it's going to be Snuggy Bear. And we're just hoping the air conditioning works if it's hot. And because last year the heat wouldn't shut off on the bus. We had to open up the roof hatches. It got a little old. However, it was still fun. And I remember I did a podcast about that. So, okay, so we'll be doing the marathon bus tour again this year. Let's go ahead and get into the email bags section of the show, which is hotly awaited. And let's talk about who checked in this week. All right, heard from Glenn Stone out of the UK. He said, "Hey, Dave, just listened to my first show on a cold early October morning over here in the UK. As a middle of the pack, nobody like you. I like to describe yourself. I enjoy the show. The show's more relaxed style compared to some podcasts I listen to that can get a little technical and take themselves a bit seriously. I'll be having a listen to the archives over the coming months. Keep it going, Glenn from the UK." And Glenn, yeah, I emailed you back. Thank you so much for checking in. And I'm very curious to know, how did you hear about the podcast? Because I'm getting about 600 downloads per show that has steadily grown over the years. And I don't do any marketing of the show. So I was just kind of curious how you found out. I know it's on iTunes, so maybe you heard about it that way. Anyway, I hope you stick around, and go back. I think you can probably get over 100 episodes on the website. I'm not sure how many the server holds. I did upgrade to, I think I spend $12 a month on the Podbean to host the website, and that's just kind of my hobby fee. Although you can go to the website, ashlanddave.podbean.com. You can donate to my race fund if you feel so inclined, although I don't really promote that too much, but you can if you want. Anyway, Glenn, nice to hear from you. Thank you so much for the email, and I hope to hear back from you again in the future. Sandy Steiner and I send emails back and forth many times. And matter of fact, this week, I think she's in Virginia, and we're going to be hoping to meet up for a beer with her husband, Eric, over at the Center of the Universe Brewing Company. She sent me a bottle of Blister Shield, which kind of looks like a salt shaker, and I have been using that. However, this last Saturday, I put it in my socks, and I did get some little bit of blistering because my shoes were so wet. However, I do recommend you try that. You got to be real careful. Don't let it clump up under your toes. You have to really shake it, and I would recommend putting down it's kind of like powder. Putting down Sandy's right. You have to put your socks on really quick once you kind of dump it in there and spread it around. But I would recommend putting your feet over top of newspaper before you put your shoes on and get it spread out real good. But Sandy, really do appreciate you sending me that. This stuff wasn't cheap, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that. She recently ran the Vermont 50K. She said it was crazy hard, so much elevation change, beautiful, well-organized, and now it's her favorite race ever. And she said she'd be in touch. So, she's asking if we can have a brew if you have the time. Hey, how about two brews? How about that? Or three? That's what I'm all about. And if I'm lucky, maybe I get my wife to drop me off down there and come pick me up. We'll see you this week, I hope. Down Under Dave checked in about 2 weeks ago. He said, "Hey, Dave, how you doing? Hope your toe is fully operational again, that you had a successful 12-hour run." That's the 24-hour race, David, but it's going to be undoing the 12 hours of that. That's coming up in just 3 weeks. David said his pneumonia is finally gone. He had to take four kinds of antibiotics. He's back on the local Flinders Island, which is in Australia, or Tasmania, Australia. And it turns out he's the deputy mayor of his community, and he's getting ready to go up for re-election again. And it just so happens that he's also reading To the Edge for the second time. So, David, you're the one I couldn't remember who was reading the book. I need to pick that up again. And he was looking for some motivation, too, after being sick. So now he's calling Flinders Island the dot on the edge of the universe. And you know, David, it's funny. I looked up your island on the map book, or on the not the map book, on GMaps or something, to kind of get an idea of what it looks like down there. And that's pretty cool. That's what's pretty cool about the internet. There's lots of neat things about it. But you can just go on and look up and enlarge maps on the internet to roads. When we had an exchange student from Japan this past summer, you know, we could just go, you know, we have an atlas in the house, but you can't enlarge it to go right down to street level, and which we could do on the GMaps thing. It was pretty cool. It's kind of a little sidebar. So anyway, thank you, Down Under Dave. I really do appreciate the email, as always. And sorry, sometimes I don't get back to you right away. Okay, heard from Lummix, and the Cross the Bay 10K, I think, has already taken place, but he sent me an ad to this, and it's an interesting, we're trying to figure out what the reason was here for this. The race is going cupless. I'm going to read the ad. It's Cross the Bay 10K is excited to announce we are going cupless. The organizing team, our local partners, public safety agencies, blah, 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 have made the decision not to risk having 50,000 cups turned loose on the bridge and potentially into the bay. Safety issues connected with slipping, the sheer volume of cups scattered about the bridge, potential environmental pollution implications to the bay simply aren't worth the risk. So what's the plan, you ask? Simply go cupless. Rest assured there'll be water stations on the course at mile 2. This is the bridge across the Chesapeake Bay in the Maryland area. Here's the thing. What's allowed? Hydration belts attached to the waist, water bottles, bike bottles, any non-glass handheld bottle, other water flask, or handheld container. What's not allowed? Glass bottles, jars, or containers. Camelbacks, backpacks, or hydration systems worn on the back. But they are allowing hydration belts attached to the waist. Whatever. I'm trying to figure out why that wasn't being allowed. The only thing I could think of was explosives you put in your camelback, but I don't know. I mean, isn't a camelback the same thing as carrying a water bottle on your waist or two water bottles on your waist? I don't know. That's a race that's mostly on the bridge. I think it's an out and back. That's 10K. I'm not sure if my buddy Lummix was doing it or not. If anybody knows the reason for that, please send me an email, ashandave@gmail.com. Okay, heard from Abuelo Runs in the Chattanooga area. He says, "Dave, thanks for playing our national anthem as a closing theme." Well, you know what's cool about that, Tim, is that I'm glad that you listened all the way to the end. I started playing the national anthem shortly, I guess maybe not quite 100 episodes into the show, and that's a salute to our military, our police, and you know, all the fallen. That's why I play that. Thanks for noticing. Appreciate it. Heard from Gabriel. He said, "Hey, Dave, I thought you'd like to know the book is available as a Kindle edition, and that is the To the Edge book. He said, thanks for the recommendation. I added it. So that's Gabriel Pagan. Not sure where he's out of. So if you email back, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, though. I heard from Jamie, and she says, thanks for all your help getting up the podcast up and going. Thanks as well for the nice shout-out. I really appreciate it. Hope your toe is feeling better. And I did get a chuckle from your wife's comment about the shower shoes. Karma is a bitch. Yes, that's very good. And I want to plug Jamie's podcast right now because she is on iTunes. And it's called the Jamie Delaney MD Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. She's got 4 shows out, the most recent being October 8th. She's got another one getting ready to come out about marathons and nutrition. She's a cardiologist. She's listened to the show for several years. I actually met her in person at the Hatfield-McCoy Marathon several years ago when I was on crutches. And because I had stalked her and I'd looked up her picture on the internet in case, because I knew she was going to be there. That way, in case I saw her, I could at least, I wasn't really stalking her. That way I knew what she looked like. Because if you don't know what somebody looks like and you're going to be at the same race, there's no way you're ever going to know who it is unless you hear somebody say their name. So I saw her, I think, down in the breakfast area or something, and we kind of, you know, just made that connection. And then when she got her podcast going, she asked me for some help. And there's 2 ways to find her podcast. One is on iTunes, where you can just search in the store "plant-based podcast," and you'll find it. It's the podcast that has the a picture of the heart inside the body. It's a pretty cool graphic. Or you can go to jamiedelaneymd.podbean.com, but the problem is she spells her name a little differently. I would recommend going to just Google, and let's see, I'm going to Google plant-based podcast to see what comes up. Bear with me. Or you can go to ashlanddave@podbean.com, and I will link to it again. Let's see. No, don't go to Google and do that. Go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you'll find the link there if you want to check out her podcast, which I hope that you do, because she's very committed to putting it up. She says she's having a lot of fun, and the cool thing about it was is I helped her. All right, heard from Thomas, last one. She said, yeah, he said, Dave, yes, this is the master competitor. He got into the... it's a 100-miler. I can't think of the name of it at the moment. It's the one down in North Carolina. It'll come to me, Thomas. I'm sorry. Your email came about a month ago, so I know that's old news to you. But I'll just get into it now. I'll make that up to you. Sorry about that. Well, that's the end of the show for this time around. I really do appreciate you listening. It went a little bit longer than I had anticipated. I hope to get out another episode before Halloween. And as always, this is Ashland Dave. I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. Have a good week. Get in those training runs. And one of these days, I'll explain what run to the finish and keep on running means. Y'all have a good week.